Welcome back to Their Soulmates, a Ted Lasso podcast. My name is Tori.
And I'm Kevin.
We are the after show where we really dig into the characters of Ted Lasso and Rebecca Welton, how they are connected, and why they are soulmates.
What happened there?
I don't know why. You're I don't know. I drifted off there.
Oh, okay. We just got started.
We haven't been doing any of the little silly jokes at the beginning where I was like, Rebecca wants to.
Yeah. What happened to that?
I don't know.
We just forgot.
I have to get it back. Next week.
All right.
I don't have anyone for this week.
All right. Give me a minute. Maybe I'll come up with something.
Is there anything in the episode that could spark one?
I don't know. Right. I don't know.
Okay. I think I've got good feelings though. Remember how I was saying I feel like we need a few signs before we head into too far into the season?
Yeah.
I think we're there.
Yeah.
I think this might be a turning point for us.
Mm-hmm.
Or crushing realization.
Yeah.
I'm ready for either one. Okay, so there's really no news or anything this week because unfortunately the Ted Lasso cast did not go back to the White House.
No.
Second week in a row.
No, but wasn't Brett Goldstein on something? He was on NPR.
Oh, he was. He was on Fresh Air on NPR.
Fresh Air, that's it.
My friend Kia told me that, but I have not listened to it yet.
Oh, okay. I figured you'd listen to it.
I should have said our friend Kia, because
she kind of
likes
too.
You also. The episode we're going to cover this week is called 451. It first aired on March 29th, 2023. It was written by Bill Rubel, which is a name we've seen before, and a director that I don't believe we've seen before, Destiny Ekaraka.
Ekaraka.
Oh, that's probably much better than what I did.
So that's just my guess. Sorry, yeah. Destiny, if I'm way off, or if you're even listening. Maybe we don't have to worry about it.
There's no way she's listening, but...
Oh, okay, good.
But if anyone does know the correct pronunciation, yell at me on Twitter. All right, so the summary for this episode is Zava has arrived in Richmond, and he is the glorious weirdo that everyone hoped for. Almost everyone hoped for. And what Rebecca thinks is just going to be a silly visit to her mother's psychic kind of takes a devastatingly unexpected turn.
Yeah, interesting scene.
Yeah. All right, before we dig into all the Ted and Rebecca scenes, I know we normally don't cover other characters, unless it's like intertwining with what's going on with Ted and Rebecca on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like usually we touch on everything because everyone touches Ted and Rebecca. That sounded odd. But I just want to start off by saying that this opening sequence shows Colin getting out of a bed, getting dressed, going into a kitchen to reveal that he is in a relationship with a man.
Yes.
And I believe this is the first gay character that has appeared on Ted Lasso. And this is something that fans have kind of been hoping for, asking for.
They're hoping that he was gay or just for a gay character?
A gay representation, but it was definitely Colin. And here's the thing. They probably had this plan all along because Colin had made one or two jokes in the earlier seasons that gave away that he could possibly. And I think fans picked up on that and then... So that could have been the plan the whole time.
Oh, I see.
And I'm glad that they're kind of going to do this storyline because I don't know much about football, but I have heard that homophobia is a big problem.
Really?
I mean, in sports overall, wouldn't you say? I mean, do you know
I feel like it's come, I don't want to say a long way, but there are turning points. I mean, baseball has a few. I think
openly
that,
gay men playing baseball?
I believe so.
Okay.
I can't think of anybody off the top of my head, and I should know because I follow baseball. I mean, I think it's a little more, and I know NFL had at least one for sure. Which is insane.
Yeah,
I know.
I know. Yeah. So it's like normally we're to the point where we necessarily don't want gay characters to always be like the subject of some kind of social issue.
Mm-hmm.
We want to just have gay characters be gay characters, mm-hmm. like everyone else on TV. As far just same as not having all white people. But I think in this instance, it is going to be interesting for them to explore that because it is kind of a thing that isn't really talked about in football. Okay, so we'll touch on that more after when it weaves into the story. But for the first scene that we get with Ted in it, Ted, Roy, Beard, and Trent now are all hanging out in Ted and Beard's office. And they're talking about Zaba's arrival. At the same time, there's a portion of the stadium that has people in it, press, waiting for Zaba to show up with a big sign that says, "Welcome, Zaba." And they're talking about now that Zaba's going to be joining, someone's going to have to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be Colin.
Mm-hmm.
And then because Zaba's going to be on the front line, someone has to come out of there.
Yeah, come back.
Yeah. And they say, who should it be, Danny or Jamie? And it's unanimous that it will be Danny.
Yeah.
Ted says, Jamie is a little bit like my mother's precious moments collection. And Trent says, I have no idea what that
means. Which was great. That made me laugh. Like he immediately, he didn't even try to think about it.
No. I guess maybe, isn't that Hallmark? Are they not popular there?
I think probably not. That's true too.
And Roy says he's a fragile little bitch.
Which would be, they are Hallmark, that's another Hallmark reference.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Wasn't that last week it was the Hallmark movies?
Last week, I'm not positive that Precious Moments are Hallmark, but I
have
think
to look that up.
They are. Higgins comes in and they're talking about, you know, how is everything going and with the people in the audience waiting for Zaba. And he's like, you know, I am a little nervous. And Higgins says that he had diarrhea this morning.
Yeah, just revealing it.
These guys are close. This is three of the Diamond Dog. I guess Roy is technically a Diamond Dog, even though he reluctantly is a Diamond Dog.
Yeah, I mean, that happened when that whole, like, this is what you guys do. You just talk about stuff.
And right.
So I think he, you know, without announcing it, became a Diamond.
Yeah.
A silent dog. Diamond Dog.
Do you think that they're going to let Trent in? It seems like it.
I mean, they're going to have to. He's there.
Yeah, and he's part of this conversation. I'm sure we're going to go to some deeper places throughout the season here.
I hope.
And Trent may be there for it, which will be a bit odd because he's also writing a book.
Mm-hmm.
And Higgins even says to Trent, don't put that in the book. So that's probably going to be a running joke throughout the season as well, because last week when Rebecca was talking about how she gets dizzy overshares with the manicurist, she says to him, don't put that in the book.
Right, but then Ted said something completely ridiculous and said, you can put that in the book.
He's an open book.
Which he won't, he won't put it in the book.
Right, because it wasn't at all interesting. Higgins has diarrhea, well, hopefully had. Ted is saying that his stomach is also in knots, and it took me a bit to get this joke, which is he's like Wayne's World 1 and 2 smushed together.
Oh, you didn't get that right away?
Is it because of their hair?
No.
They have a lot of knotted up hair?
No, okay, I thought it was because they say you can go do this, not.
I got
they
it.
They used to say not a lot.
That's where that horrible joke came from.
That's what I'm almost positive. That's what I got. If I remember from that movie correctly, they would say not.
Remember
that was big in the 90s. People would say, I'm going to go wherever.
Yes.
Meaning they're not going to do it.
Right. Okay, so I didn't get that joke until you explained it to me, so thank you very much.
Oh, I figured you got it.
That conversation drifts into musicals.
Yes.
Like it does on this show. And then they decide to start talking about everyone's favorite Julie Andrews character.
Yeah.
So Beard says Eliza Doolittle, which I believe is from My Fair Lady. I actually am not that familiar with it.
I'm not either.
And then Roy says Maria from Sound of Music.
Right.
Higgins says Mary Poppins, to which Ted says, yes, that's the same as mine.
Yeah.
The one little interesting thing here, and this kind of goes along with the Diane Sawyer connection. You know how there's in season one or season two, he says, same thing I would say if Diane Sawyer ever asked me out on a date. Yes, please.
Yeah.
people have then since like kind of compared the fact that Diane Sawyer and Rebecca are sort of similar, powerful, tall women with blonde hair and fancy dress. Hannah Waddingham has said a couple of times in interviews that Jason sees her and or Rebecca as like a little bit of a crazy Mary Poppins.
Okay. I like that.
So if there's any indication of what Ted's attraction may lean towards, it's Mary Poppins. Don't know if it's the crazy one. Hopefully not. But Mary Poppins. Out in the stadium, everyone is still waiting. Now the guys, all the players and the coaches are out there too. And it seems that they've been waiting for a while, like at least almost 2 hours at this point.
Oh, is that what the... I didn't know the exact time or what...
Well, later she says something about how we waited for you for 2 hours. So we probably are headed towards that time now.
Oh, I see. So maybe you were supposed to be there at 10 because wasn't it like 20 till... Rebecca's watch said 20 to 12, I believe.
Oh, thank you for catching that. It happened so fast. I didn't tell time. I couldn't tell time
I'm pretty sure that's what it said.
So yeah, they've been waiting a while and everyone's getting restless. The reporters are getting restless. The team's getting restless. And Rebecca is starting to panic. So she asks Higgins, like, we had a signed contract with him, correct? And he's like, yes, it was an e-signature, but those are legally binding.
I think.
I think. Yeah. And then he like scurries off and says he'll go make a phone call. When Higgins leaves, Ted comes and takes his place. So the three of them were sitting in the front row. So now Ted is sitting with them in the front row next to Rebecca. And he says, are you guys sure that we gave Zava the right address? I'd be really sad to think that he's in the middle of Virginia right now waiting on us.
Yeah, sitting in the middle of Virginia.
Okay, that took me... Wait, I did get that one, finally. That took me way too long to get also. I think I was in a bad mood when I first watched this episode.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that's why I didn't process the jokes as well.
I think... Yeah, I mean, I got that one I got right away, too. Yeah.
And I should know, because when we were looking up like Airbnbs and hotels in Richmond, I kept getting Richmond, Virginia. Yeah. Yes. So... not the same. Then Ted says, you know, sometimes you have to wait for greatness. And he tells a story about how back in 98, he waited over 3 hours for Public Enemy to play a club called the Cubby Bear.
Yeah, I wonder if that exists. I didn't look it up. And I
know,
wanted to.
I have no idea. And he says, when a man who's wearing a large clock around his neck is that late, it's a statement. And then Flava Flav actually responded to Ted Lasso, like, you know, the character Ted Lasso that's on Twitter, and said, like, great things take time. And he says, in 2023, I had to wait a year and a half for my favorite show to come back, or one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. I like it. Higgins comes back and says the signature is legally binding. However, instead of signing his name, he signed, "You're welcome."
Which I just about put Rebecca over the edge. Yes. Like, that's it.
So now she's like, okay, we need to go and figure something out in case this is going south quickly. But here, you'll notice that she touches Ted on his thigh.
Yes.
Did you notice it before I brought it up?
No, I'm noticing it right now.
Because I have it paused on the screen.
Yes.
I think this is the first time that she's ever, like, touched him in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And... again, not saying at this point that I think that she's necessarily feeling anything yet, but I think it just kind of shows a little more closeness because she's touching him kind of the same way she touches Keeley. And I think if Higgins was still sitting there, I don't know that her hand would have gone there.
Mm. That's
and
a good point.
Then she actually kind of uses him to like balance herself, to push herself up and to go to her office.
She's a tall woman. Center of gravity. All that.
You sure you want to leave that in the podcast?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Yes, I'm comfortable with that.
Just wanted to make sure. Okay.
These are facts.
So they run off to go back to the office. It's Keeley, Rebecca, and Ted. And they leave Higgins to kind of do damage control. And he's like, oh, don't worry. Damage control was my DJ name in college.
Which actually is really funny and kind of a funny or kind of a cool name for a DJ.
That is. And Keeley's like, I didn't know you DJed. And he said, I didn't, but just in case I ever did, I had the name all ready to go.
So after Higgins stands up and he's about to talk, you hear somebody yell, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
And I'm positive it's that one guy that was originally on the plane with Ted and Beard.
Oh.
And then when they went there for the Christmas episode, they go to his house.
Right.
It sounds just like him.
You know what? It probably is. That's funny. I didn't catch that, but I
it's really
be surprised
faint, but it sounds like him. I didn't. It says just says he's on the closed captioning. Just says fan one, but
right.
It totally sounds like that guy.
But he would definitely be there because he is
right.
a big fan,
right?
And he would definitely say, "Who the fuck are you?"
Right,
to Higgins. Poor Higgins. He's just trying. I thought you were going to say it was Larry David. Like how
no, like how in Seinfeld he yelled. He's in a lot of those. Voice
anytime anyone's
only,
yelling in Seinfeld,
it's Larry
David.
Always.
On the way back to the office, Rebecca's like, why are we doing this? Why do people put up with this? And Keely is saying, you know, because sometimes we have to accommodate greatness. And she's like, mm-hmm. Who is the greatest actor alive? And Rebecca says, Daniel Day-Lewis. Ted says, Tony Curtis. And I love the look on her face. She's just like,
whatever.
Whatever.
Well, and he's not alive, right?
No, because then he's like, oh, you said alive, Jackie Chan. Oh, wait, you said retired, Daniel Day-Lewis. He basically goes back to what Rebecca said in the
right.
first place. And Keely says, you know, when he was in character, he stayed in character, and everyone had to just adapt around him. She said, and Keely's adorable in this scene.
I know.
And she said, when she turns around and spins back at them, I feel like Hannah almost laughed because she, like, took a step back. Like, she was a bit startled at how close Keely got to them. So she says, he even texted Sally Field as Abraham Lincoln. And Rebecca's like, that's ridiculous because Abraham Lincoln wouldn't have been able to text. And Ted says, yeah, because every time he looked down on his phone, his giant hat would fall off.
Oh, gosh, always.
And again, she gives him a look. He's getting a lot of the same looks that he was getting that day in the bar when he wouldn't stop making the milk jokes.
Yes.
But I think it doesn't matter because I think she still thinks he's adorable.
All right.
Now, she walks into her office, and we get the absolute fucking best line of the entire episode.
I know, it's funny.
Because Zava is sitting at her desk, and he says, your desk is covered in biscuit crumbs.
Like, she's just chomping away at those biscuits and not cleaning afterwards.
Yeah.
And if you look closely, the little pink box is open on the desk. Like,
she was probably, like, stress eating them right before she went out to the pitch.
Yep.
And there's just crumbs everywhere. So she's like, what the fuck are you doing? We've been waiting for you for 2 hours. And then he's like, time is a construct. So he's not worried about time at all.
Well, clearly.
She's like, get out of my chair. So she kicks him out and then she introduces him to Ted. So I guess this is the first time Ted's met him at all. Ted thinks he's going to shake his hand, but he kind of like does this thing where he puts his hand over his heart and then tells him he's an empty vessel
filled with gold.
Mold me. Ted's like, all right.
No, well, he says, I'm your rock. Mold me. Oh. Who can mold a rock? Nobody.
That's true.
That's just as bad as I'm an empty
vessel filled
empty
with
vessel
gold.
Filled with gold.
Then she introduces Zava to Keely, and she says she's the head of PR, and he's like, I've made your job so much more difficult today. So it's like he's recognizing that the chaos he's causing is causing chaos.
But yet doesn't care.
No, but it's like all part of this persona that they're going to love. He thinks they're going to love anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Right, which they do.
Yeah. And Keely is like, oh, you know, it's fine. Like she's pretending that it was no big deal. Then Higgins comes in and Shandy's also here with Keely today, which I am still trying to figure out where we're going with the Shandy
That's
character.
My, yeah, me too. I mean, there's something's got to play out that, there's got to be a reason they brought her into the show.
Yeah. And, you know, she doesn't seem to be doing as well as Keely hoped. And she doesn't seem to be in public. I think she kind of like says things that embarrass Keely. Earlier, she said she wanted to pick Rebecca's brain. Like, how tall are you exactly? But I still feel like they're showing that whole like progression of paying it forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's still going to work here, but I'm not positive because I can't see any kind of like major conflict coming up here because that's not kind of what they do with women on this show.
Yeah. I mean that I suspected that, but maybe, it was far fetched,
but maybe this is just a soft lesson for Keely that not not hiring your best friend is always a good idea.
Right.
Which we pretty much said once Rebecca said it in that episode anyway. But yeah, so I'm intrigued, but I'm still a little bit confused. Higgins comes in. He meets Sapa. He is completely starstruck.
I know.
And Rebecca's like, here's our director of football. He walks forward and grabs Higgins' face and like pulls him in close and says, you are the glue. And everyone is just like, what? And then Higgins says, thank you very much. And when they pull apart, you see Ted's little face in the background going, ooh.
Yeah, he is impressed.
I can't remember if it was Jeremy Swift who plays Higgins or Hannah Waddingham said that it took them forever to shoot this scene because they could not stop laughing.
Oh, really?
Because I believe how it. Could you? I mean,
when he puts his forehead up to
yes.
Higgins' forehead, it's hilarious.
I would love to. We need bloopers, please.
I know.
Please, bloopers. So now he says, okay, I'm going to go see the team. And he walks off.
And Rebecca, do you even know where you're going?
He's, I do not.
I do not. You know what's so great is with the Zava and Rebecca relationship, she set it off when she first talked to him in the bathroom.
Yep.
She came at him, and now that's how she talks to him all the time.
Yeah.
Like, she is not kissing his ass. She is, I mean, she comes in here yelling at him, what are you doing?
And get out of my chair.
And he's not fazed by it, but... Nope. I think he almost likes it, probably.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's just, I love that they kept that, you know, kept that side of her going. Right. Like, she's going to just always be yelling at him and not care what he thinks.
I know. And I think that motivates him.
Exactly. That's really what I was trying to go with that.
But I love it because we get to watch Rebecca yell at somebody again. Like, you know, she picks at Higgins, but she's really going at Zava. All right, so Ted says, I'm going to go follow him just in case he gets lost or he's shy. And he says goodbye to Higgins, he goes. And then Rebecca asks how the damage control went. And Shandy's like, it was a mess, but he's adorable.
Yeah, he was adorable.
And then he's like, I'm sorry, who is she? So everyone just keeps asking who Shandy is because she's tagging along with Keely.
But I think now I can ask my point or make my point here.
Oh, yeah.
So they never address Zava going on the field or anything. So I guess we're to assume he never went.
No, he did not go.
Okay, so is that clear? And I missed it, or
I think just because they left the field, he said, "I'm going down to see the team."
Okay,
he went straight here, and then he says, "I'll see you tomorrow," and leaves.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it's like they never went. Addressed it out on the field like, oh, well, I mean, I guess Higgins did, and that's what we're supposed to.
Yeah, all right, Higgins fine. Probably had to go back and say, he's here, but he's
okay,
not
yeah.
going to see anyone today. Right. Or maybe Zava did like a drive-by before he left.
Yeah, okay.
Walked out all there, right. waved,
all right.
meditated I'm reading with everyone into it. In the audience for a moment, and then went home.
I'm reading into it too much, probably.
So Ted goes downstairs looking for Zava. Zava's not down there. But all the guys are like, wait, 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 he's in the building? Because I don't know, they probably were starting to get worried that he wasn't going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And considering that all the guys are here also, maybe everyone just left the stadium because they assumed he was
not coming
at all. Oh, good
point. Okay, yeah.
So Zava walks in and most of the team is also starstruck. And they're like excited that he touches them on the way by. Somebody says he's like a god. And someone says, why would you downgrade him like that?
No. They say he's like an angel.
Oh, he's like an angel. Right.
Yeah.
And then he says,
the other way around.
He is a god.
Mm-hmm.
He stands in front of the team to address them and stands directly in front of where Ted is standing.
Oh, my God. It was hilarious. And he's so tall. Like, you don't see Ted anymore. And then Ted just comes peeking around him like, yeah, I'm still here.
This man must be very tall.
He is.
Because I think Jason Sudeikis is like, 6 feet, 6'1"?
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, so he's completely obscuring him, and then you just see Ted kind of slowly move to one side, nonchalantly. And Zava says, okay, first I need to address the most important person on the team. And he says, where's your kitman? And I love that he looks over and he thinks it could be Jamie, and Jamie's so like, offended.
What the F?
So Will comes forward.
But see, wouldn't you think he would know who Jamie is? Playing soccer.
Yeah, but like you said last time, he wasn't in the
in the Premier League. I know, but you think soccer players at least would follow other leagues. Premier, you know.
But he's like Madonna. Like,
I know,
Madonna,
you're right. You're right.
Who?
No, that's a good point. And it makes for a good part of the show. Anyway,
I can't think of somebody who's like good at their job, but maybe not as famous as other musicians. But yeah, he doesn't have to know who. Pre-Madonna, I meant. He doesn't have to know who Jamie is, so he probably doesn't care.
True.
So he says, I need your kitman to come forward. So Will comes forward, and he's all nervous. And he says, I too did your job when I was 11 years old. And Will says, I'm 25. And every time he moves around, like Ted gets out of the way, he steps back in front of Ted, and then you see Ted kind of go to the other side.
I know.
But he says, it's your passion that I'm playing for. So like, I can't figure out this guy because, one, it's great that he, you know, he's not a dick, and he's not a dick to anyone. And he's,
right.
You know, like, he's not like how Jamie used to treat Nate.
Right.
He's respecting the Kitman and saying, like, it's your passion, and you do so much for us. You know, that you need to be respected and to be pointed out.
So yeah, that makes sense.
I still can't tell if this guy really is, he's a diva with a heart of gold.
Baby. He's just, and he's just eccentric and he's just out of his mind a little bit. Like, not like no touch with reality, but
right.
I don't know.
So then he wants them all to breathe with him.
Yeah.
He takes a deep inhale in, and then there's no way he physically exhaled that long. And all the other guys are like,
I know.
Going back for more air in between each one.
Roy's peeking out with one eye when for some reason his eyes were closed. So
he's probably
funny.
Waiting to see if it's over yet.
I know.
So he does like a quick little breathing exercise with them, says, we are one. There is now only we. There is now only us. And then he says, there is only we-ness. Now, does anyone else remember that from Friends? Do you remember that from Friends, we-ness?
Mm-mm.
It was...
Oh, that's what it's from. No.
I mean, I don't know that that's... I don't know if it was just a coincidence or what, but Chandler works at that place where he does things with numbers, and they never understand what he does, and that's kind of like a running joke through the show.
Right.
And then they started this joke called the we-ness. And it was the weekly estimated net usage systems. But it was like, you know how when you work somewhere, everything has like a
right.
shortened name?
Right.
So, yeah, I just was like, and then I went back to look at the episode of Friends to make sure that I was remembering correctly. And it is something that's
weenus.
It is weenus. And it's spelled the same way. And it is a joke they used in Friends. But whether or not they had any idea of that, I had no idea. So then he just leaves.
Yeah.
Yeah, this goes away. And Ted's like, oh, okay. And Ted looks behind him because he's gone into his office. So then Roy, Ted, and Beard all follow him in there. Trent's still in his little Nate desk area.
Yeah.
And he goes over to the board, starts like putting all their little dots in different places where they had the play laid out. And so now instead of 1-5-4, 4-5-1
yeah.
It's
one and then
a blob.
Nine. A blob of nine.
All the way in the back, as far away as they can get. So now he really leaves and he goes through Roy in Trent's room and mm-hmm. walks out.
Yeah.
And then Trent says, he's tall.
Oh, gosh.
I'm worried that they're going to make Trent dumber here.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
By working with all these guys.
The one thing about this scene is kind of unrelated to anything, but I always wonder about the shirts that Trent Crim's wearing. And in this one, I've probably done a little too much research on it, but, I'm pretty sure it's a, Mothers of Intervention shirt, which was a Frank Zappa band or one of his bands.
Yeah.
And, but I think that's what it is. But, if anybody else knows, you know, let me know.
Trent's
but it
just
looks
a
like,
cool guy.
I know. That's why I always like the way he's all dressed. He's mm-hmm. got his white cons on. He's got his little sport coat over his Rock Band t-shirt. But more I look at it, I kind of can see where on one side it says Mothers. I think it's a Mothers of Intervention shirt. So anyway, there's that little
Higgins,
tidbit.
Higgins is kind of a cool guy too, because we've seen him wearing different band t-shirts. I wonder if it's right. like the actor's influence, or if they're just working with the wardrobe people and they're like, I think that he would have liked this band. Because I've not heard of Mothers of Invention, but it sounds like something that Trent Crim would definitely
Yeah, it was just to. One of Frank Zappa's experimental bands that he had.
Now Rebecca is late for her appointment, and the appointment is that her mother made an appointment with her psychic Tish that she's going to be able to get a reading from her. Rebecca does not want to do this, but I think she's just doing it to appease her mom. And she's probably a little curious to meet this lady.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. I mean, she's got to be curious about this woman.
So she comes in and the lady is just kind of standing there. The lady is very calm, I say. She has a very calm presence and is just sort of like, she's a good casting for a psychic.
Yeah, she really is.
And she tells her, you know, go ahead and sit down. Would you like a drink? How about even a cocktail? And so Rebecca throws out a White Russian.
Right. And then the Big Lebowski reference.
Right. Then the lady's like, oh, I'm fresh out because I had a Big Lebowski party. And she's like, I was just making a joke. And then the lady says, I know, which is why I made two.
Okay.
I like this lady, though. And like, you know, Rebecca thinks that this is all BS. In real life, I'm not sure that psychics really have any kind of psychic ability. But I believe that this lady actually knows what could be going on in some strange way.
Okay.
So I love in the beginning, she says, you know, you've been through so much. A man with a dark soul took yours. And then another man, half your age, comes in at the wrong time, but the right time. And Rebecca's like, I'm sorry, how do you know all this?
Yeah.
Just like, well, I talked to your mom.
I know, that was so funny.
That's the thing too, like, going to a psychic who obviously knows her mother, you feel like she would already have too much information about Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to worry about that. So I also noticed here, I feel like they're playing that like high pitch kind of sound a little bit over Rebecca here a couple of times, similar to the sound we hear when Ted goes into a panic attack.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
And I don't know if they're trying to convey that she's getting really anxious or if they're just trying to convey like a dreamy sort of psychic feel.
But I see.
I noticed that. And it's here when she starts to hear the woman saying those exact correct things. And then at the end of the scene. So I think it's trying to convey a bit of her having anxiety over this or panicking. Tish knows right off the bat that Rebecca's not into any of this. And she says, you know, I'm not surprised that you're a skeptic. And Rebecca's like, why? Because you're a psychic? And she says, no, because your mother was also a skeptic.
Yeah, I think which gets Rebecca thinking a little bit there.
Yeah, because Deb seems to be full steam ahead at this point. So she takes a bowl down and she says, are you familiar with the Japanese art of kintsugi? Which I probably said it wrong. She says it's the art of mending things with gold. So, like, if the bowl is broken, instead of throwing it away or trying to glue it so that you can't see the cracks, they mend it with gold. Mm. And she's basically saying the flaws are still there, but sometimes you can turn those flaws into something beautiful.
Right. Which is, it's a neat concept.
It is, because it's basically saying, like, you can heal. You're still going to be you. You're still going to carry, you know, the scars of what happened to you, but it doesn't mean that you can't be happy. And I think that kind of also gets Rebecca's attention a little bit. So she puts the bowl in the middle and she's like, we're both going to put our hands on it. And as soon as they both put their hands on it, the woman is like super focused on Rebecca. And then Rebecca says, what is that? Suddenly there's an odd smell in here. I tried to look up to see if there was something that's like known, like if someone is giving a psychic reading and it's real or if spirits have a smell. And the only thing I could find was that some psychics feel that they can get signs from smells.
Okay.
And then I got into reading about phantom smells, which basically just means you have a horrible health condition.
Oh, okay, great.
If you just suddenly randomly smell something, and it's normally bad smells, like someone will suddenly randomly smell like rotting eggs or something else bad. It's just, it's always bad. I've heard
sulfur.
Sulfur, yes. I've heard of burning toast. Like,
I thought that's if you're having a stroke, or is that a match?
Yeah, well, I think that's, like, that's what they're saying. These phantom smells that aren't there are an indication of some sort of health. So, anyway, unless...
Well, but at least you did some research, because my logic was Tish ripped a little fart. So, I think that's a better, and probably a better analogy, or better...
You
better
could
example.
Be right. I mean, I have no
idea. I mean, honestly, she's like, what's that smell? And Tish says, but doesn't Tish say
thank you?
Thank you.
That's the other thing.
So maybe Tish farted. Anyway, sorry.
Poor Rebecca. This is a miserable experience all around, if that's the case.
I know.
But she says, okay, let's begin. So now the woman is talking about how she sees something in Rebecca's hand, and it's green. And it's a very special object. And then she's like kind of, you know, going through the thing of hearing all these different voices. And she says, it's a matchbook.
Mm.
So a green matchbook. And she's like, oh, it's so lovely. How lovely. And Rebecca's like, why would I be excited over a matchbook?
Right.
Then she's hearing other things. And she even says at one point, one person at a time. And she is trying to say what sounds like it could be knight in shining armor, but instead comes up with shite in nining armor.
Right.
And Rebecca's like, shite in nining armor. And she's like, yes, does that mean anything to you? And she's like, yes, it means that you're even more batshit crazy than I thought you were.
Oh, gosh.
So then she says, there's thunder. And there's lightning, and you're upside down, and you're drenched, but you're safe. And Rebecca's like, okay, all right, I think we're done here. The green matchbook, we have an answer for before the end of the episode, if that is, in fact, what it means. I also saw on Twitter that people were saying that the company that makes the... Green Army Men toys that Ted has given out throughout the seasons. Not all of them, but a large company that produces them is called Matchbox.
Oh, so they're probably the same one that made the cars, too.
Yeah, I think
Matchbox
so.
Matchbox cars.
Mm-hmm. So if Tish is kind of getting things misconstrued, like shite in nining armor, it doesn't seem too off base that she could be talking about the green...
Yeah, Matchbox. Oh.
Because Rebecca does have one that she got in the first season, although she threw it on the floor and Mara, the cleaning lady, Mina, the cleaning lady, may have thrown it away.
Yeah.
But if that didn't happen, maybe, then the next one is the shite in nining armor. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Well.
And then... thunder and lightning. Now, the lightning thing, we've heard Roy tell her that you should be with someone who makes you feel like you've been struck by fucking lightning.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So, don't know if that's going to be play into it, but those are kind of the three clues she gets before she gets a little too uncomfortable and gets up and says, you know, we're good. And she's like, all right, thank you so much. I'll just tell my mom I did the whole session and we're good. Thank you for sharing your gift. But right before Rebecca leaves, the woman just looks up at her and says, you will have a family. And that gets Rebecca's attention. And she's like, I'm sorry, what did you just say? And she says, you will have a family. You're going to be a mother. And now she's mad. And she just says, like, fuck you. Because that's something that Rebecca has wanted her entire life. And she's now thinking like, you don't know me. You don't know anything about me. Who knows if she's tried to have kids before and wasn't able. And because she's thinking that this woman really doesn't know what she's talking about. So she says, you know, I used to think you were just harmless and silly, but now I realize that you're dangerous and you're cruel.
Yeah. And I mean, and, you know, maybe that's influence from Rebecca's mother, because Rebecca's mother wanted her to settle down, you know, have kids and...
She said that?
Well, she said that she needed to go see the psychic because her maternal instincts were
Oh, yeah. She said she needed maternal guidance. Yeah.
With maternal guidance. Yeah.
So, but I think she was talking more like.
She wanted kids, but like, you know,
yeah,
to settle down.
That she needed someone maternal in her life to like help her.
Yeah.
Which really should be Deborah, but
Deborah's yeah, that's true. That's a good
crazy
point.
Crazy also. But yeah, so Hannah Waddingham does such an amazing job here too.
Yeah, she does. It's very good.
Like as soon as she switches to realizing that she's now deeply hurt by what this woman says, she's just fantastic. Back at Ted's office, Beard is probably rereading Inverting the Pyramid of Success with his
right
flags and everything. And Ted says, "Hey, coach, what's today's Wordle?" Not only is he playing Wordle instead of trying to learn about football,
right,
he's just going to try to put in the right word.
Right. He doesn't even want to try to guess and play Wordle properly.
No. But this little interaction between them is so cute because he just says ethic and then you see him type, "You're a jerk."
Yeah.
All mad that he told him the wrong word. I remember when Wordle was like really big, I put a poll up on Twitter that said, what do we think the chances are that Wordle is going to make it as a reference in season 3? And the poll was like 91%, yes, it will.
Well, it did.
And it did.
No, it's good.
So if we are right about nothing else, we were right about Wordle being in season 3.
Right. And the fact that he said ethic, which is hilarious.
Now, every time I started playing Wordle again, I was putting in ethic.
Oh.
So that I could see if it'll one day be the word. And then I'll get it right.
Yep.
So Jamie comes in and he says, you know, "I want to talk to you guys about Zava. I know guys like this. All he is interested in about himself. And he just wants to shine. And he doesn't care about the team. And we don't need him because we're doing a good job on our own."
Right. Like, it's a little late for that, but yeah.
Yes, one. And then two, they're all kind of laughing at him because they're like, "Seriously, Jamie? Like,
right.
Coming from you?" Like, Jamie's had a big kind of change this season, growth, but that's exactly who he was in season 1. And Beard says, "Aren't you being a bit ironic?" And he's like, "Don't know." Then he goes on with the conversation. Before he leaves, he turns and says, "I wasn't being ironic. I was actually being hypocritical."
Right.
And he's right.
Yes.
And Beard's like, because he doesn't want to have to say that Jamie's right.
Right.
But he is. And Ted's like, "That was a bit ironic." So now we're going to jump forward in time. I'm not even really sure how much. But we see the game. This is Zava's first game. Everyone's excited. And they win. And then after that, I feel like we see 9 or 10 games go
by. Yeah, something like that. It's an interesting timeline because they're fast, you know, they're showing game after game after game. And I get what they're doing. They want to show a montage of them winning.
Right.
But at the same time, some of the issues that are going on around them are still in, I guess, slow motion.
Yeah, that was probably the one complaint I had about this episode.
It was weird.
Is the pacing was kind of odd because there's a lot of time at the beginning with Zava, which is great. But then, yeah, like suddenly, I would say at least 6 weeks have gone by.
Right, but what's going on in these people's lives personally is still kind of...
Right. As they're getting ready for this first game, Ted goes into his office and he wants to quickly call Henry on FaceTime.
Right.
Just to tell him good luck because he has a soccer game that day. And then he realizes he doesn't have his phone with him. And then he's like, "Oh, I'll just call Michelle's phone with this phone." Picks up the phone. Realizes he can't remember her number.
Right.
And I like that he says, "You think that's a good thing?"
Right.
Beard says, "I just think it's a thing."
Well, I do think a lot of people don't know people's numbers because they put them in their phone and then you don't become a number. You just become the name and you hit it.
Yeah, but
I know your number, but I'm just saying.
Well, and he knew her number. What he's saying is he can't remember it anymore. Like,
okay.
I know your number and you know my number.
Right.
If we got divorced and it had been like a year or two, I think he's saying like he can't remember it now. So I do think it's like growth on Ted's part that he is healing a bit from this because.
Right, I see. Yeah.
Not so much at the front of his mind all the time. But he is about to get kicked in the balls here.
Yeah.
So
much.
He decides, all right, I'll just call the landline because he does remember that number. And yeah, I mean, in the same respect, I realized like, I know your number by heart and that is it. And that's probably because I have to write it down sometimes so on like times, paperwork yeah. and
Same
stuff.
Same with me.
I have no idea what our kids' telephone numbers are. My
no.
mom.
No.
We should probably write these down and keep yeah. them somewhere safe yeah. just in case. So he calls the landline, which he does remember. And it rings on the other side. And I love how English this Kansas kitchen looks.
I know.
Because they probably most likely shot this in England. But you know what? She probably shops at IKEA. I respect it because this is a pretty badass looking kitchen. So her new boyfriend is there, Jake. And she's like, oh, okay. It's probably just a telemarketer. I'm not going to answer the phone. And he's like, oh, well, can I do it? Because I love right. messing with telemarketers. So she's like, sure, have at it. So he picks up the phone and does a decent Donald Trump impersonation.
Yeah, it is.
I would love to have seen the casting notice for this.
Yeah,
like,
must be able to do a... Or maybe the guy said, one of the talents I have that I can bring to the table is I do a good Donald Trump.
Maybe.
And then they mixed
then,
it in.
Yeah, they're like, all right. Yeah, like handsome, you know, late 30s, early 40s, and can do a Donald Trump.
Yeah, maybe.
So he does it. And then Ted's like, oh, well, Mr.
Well, did you
president,
notice, though, in the... He says Michelle Keller. He says her.
He does.
Yeah, okay.
So Michelle's gone back to using
her maiden
name.
Yeah.
Even though Ted still has her in his phone as Michelle Lasso.
Exactly.
So Ted's like, oh, well, hi, Mr. Former President. I've got a bone to pick with you.
yeah.
And Jake immediately recognizes the voice. So he's trying to flag Michelle down and he's basically like, fuck.
Yeah.
Because
sorry I answered this phone.
Exactly. Because they have not, Michelle hasn't talked to Ted about who she's dating. And they realize that now he's going to know that he already knows him. So he's like, hey, Ted, it's this Jacob Bryanson. And he's like, Jacob, Dr. Jacob?
Right.
So this was the marriage counselor.
Well, and then at that point he says, well, you can call me Jake.
Right.
Which then he puts together.
Right,
Jake from the phone call with Henry or right. the FaceTime.
And then he immediately says Dr. Jacob again because he is not going to call him Jake.
Right.
So in the background, Michelle's like yelling at Henry to get his shoes on so they can leave. He flags her down and says it's Ted. So he hands her the phone and she's like, oh, hi, trying to like gloss over it a bit, but knowing that they don't have time to get into this right now, but she's going to have this conversation with him.
Yep.
So she says, yeah, when we both have a little more time, can we talk about this? He gets on the phone with Henry, you know, just to say good luck and stuff. And it, once again, Ring the Alarm is playing in his head. Like, he's probably barely even hearing the words that are coming out of Henry's mouth.
Yeah.
So Ted kind of puts it aside for the moment because he has to go watch a game.
He's got a game to coach.
So he gets out there, and in this first game, we see Ted almost have a panic attack. So we hear the sounds that are like the telltale signals. He's clenching his fists. He's closing his eyes. But when Zava scores the first goal, it kind of pulls him out of it, and so he doesn't go into a full-blown panic attack. But like you're saying now, from this point on, they go forward like 6 weeks.
Right.
And we see Ted kind of dealing with it. But like, I don't know. I just see he was probably like in a ball in his.
Yeah, really. Like what was going on for 2 weeks
before.
And he even brings it up later on in the episode, which at the restaurant, which we don't.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's been going on for a while.
Yeah. So that was the odd thing about this because, all right. But the next time after this montage of games, which they're kicking ass. So they're basically have won like 9 or 10 games in this period of time. I'm not sure. You say that you think they play more than once a week?
I think so. I don't know. I should know more about that.
So it could be anywhere from like 4 weeks to 9, 10 weeks, I guess. And the montage is great too, because you can tell that they're playing different games by different like away uniforms going back to home uniforms, and then they bring up this little
standings.
Chiron. If you're old, well, you'd say a Chiron.
Well, a graphic on the screen, yeah. And then it has the standings, and it shows them going up and up and up in the standings.
And the one scorpion kick that he does is awesome. Like this guy Zava, the actor who plays him, is incredibly physically fit,
yeah,
and was able to at least do these stunts. I have no idea if he is like you know, played soccer his whole life or not. And we're seeing that like his merchandise is selling out. The whole team is
doing yoga,
getting them to meditate with him.
Or meditations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I wonder if that's going to cause an issue for Ted on how this team, the team is really like kind of following him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his influence is becoming apparent on the team, except for Jamie, who he walks in and he sees them meditating and he walks right out. And then they show Ted in a very real situation of sitting in front of the computer, drinking whiskey, and looking at Jacob Byronson's Facebook.
And you can tell it's late at night, too.
Yes. Oh, and that's the other thing about this Jacob guy. So in the picture they show of him in on Facebook, he's wearing a banana costume, and he just, like, finished a 5K. Are those our cats fighting?
Yeah, or they're doing something.
He finished a 5K or some kind of race wearing a banana suit. And when he answers the phone, he goes right into a Donald Trump impersonation. So this guy's kind of silly.
Right.
Like Ted.
That's a good point.
So it's strange, like, Michelle didn't completely go for someone opposite of him, which shows that, like, it was something deeper that was making that made her fall out of love with him. Or I guess we could say, if we want to go the cosmic psychic realm that they're showing us on this show, Ted had to be free at some point or else he was not going to be able to be with his soulmate.
Okay.
If that's the direction they're going in.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, it was just funny to me that he's like kind of a goofball as well. Then they show more games going by. They show Ted talking to Dr. Sharon about the finding out about Jake.
I mean, at least they're touching on some of that,
which
I didn't, I guess, think about.
Yeah, but it was just an odd pacing because also, like, it's been however many weeks since Rebecca's been at the psychic. You know, they show her lighting a candle and then she looks down, realizes she's holding a matchbook and starts looking at all of her other matchbooks. We don't really see her talk to Keeley about it, but we know she knows. So we also see Sam getting his new restaurant ready.
Right.
We see Roy kind of passing Keeley and Shandy in the hall, and Keeley doesn't even see him or acknowledge
him. Yeah, it's a good point.
So just kind of this passing of time where people are becoming more separate. And Colin, he's
texting Michael.
He's texting the guy from the beginning of the episode, but he sits down right next to everyone.
Yeah.
Like, he's not.
You just got to hope not everybody's just staring at your phone.
I guess not, but it seems like he was quite open there. So when they finally win the last game and they're all on this giant high, and Roy even says to Trent, did you think you'd be writing a fucking fairy tale? Because they just cannot believe, like, how well all this is going.
Right.
And Sam invites them all to his restaurant opening. And he's like, it's just a soft opening, so, like, don't get too excited about it yet.
Right. It's not like our they're grand testing opening. Recipes or whatever.
Yeah. But he invites everybody to come to the restaurant. Oh, they also show how pissed off Rupert is that they're winning so much. And I love the baby. Baby Diane is there. So, speaking of babies, how do you think, when you think of Rebecca being told she's going to be a mother, what does that make you think?
No, well, what, I don't know. I mean, I was, one thing I was maybe thinking is she said, you will have a family. So does that mean she flies back to Kansas with Ted and then Henry's there and now they're a family?
That's what I think.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if that was too far-fetched.
No, I mean, because she would be a step-parent.
Right,
I
that's mean, what I'm saying. You'll have a family. And then she's probably thinking, I'm getting so much older.
Right, I'm not.
But now I got to meet somebody, settle down. By the time I'm going to have a baby, I'm going to be 50. Right. You know what I mean? Like, but
she
she's going to have
adopt
an instant.
A baby.
You know, I know, but I'm just saying, like, that's why she's saying you're cruel.
Right.
Or whatever. Anyway, I'm digging too deep into it. But that was my thought.
Well,
I almost said that earlier.
That's the reason we're here.
I know, and I know.
But no, I think the same. Like, if they're going in that direction and she and Ted end up at some point together, she will have a family because Henry is his son, you know, and
right. Exactly.
Being a step parent doesn't mean that she wouldn't be completely involved and invested in his life because it's what you put into it. So yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking as well, but
okay,
we'll see what happens. Who knows? So now it's the night of the restaurant soft opening. Whole team is there. Everyone's kind of hoping that Zaba is going to show up, but he's not there yet. So
I know Danny's so excited. He made him a little friendship bracelet.
Oh, it's the cutest thing ever.
It's a little like a little cat or something.
Yeah,
that?
It looks like Simba from The Lion King. It's so cute. So Colin comes in. And he's brought, oh, I'm sorry. Colin's already there. Colin's boyfriend comes in, yeah. But he introduces him as his friend, Michael.
And then, right. And then they overcompensate by going into this whole thing about how he's his wingman when they go out to meet girls. So,
yeah. But I feel like that's a common kind of thing for people who are trying to hide.
No, you know? Yeah, I know. I just,
yeah. But the guys, I feel like at this point, no one has any suspicions about Colin, and I don't know if it's because he has always kind of been over the top about liking women.
Right. True.
Now we see Keely and Rebecca are standing at the bar. They don't leave the bar.
I know, it's great. I love how they're just sitting there just pounding shots, and Rebecca's sucking on limes, and it's just great.
And Rebecca looks freaking so gorgeous in this scene. And the scene is only like a few minutes long.
I know.
I feel like they need to have let her wear this dress for an entire episode because she is gorgeous. And I was thinking that she wore this dress because she's going to Sam's restaurant opening.
Yeah, you gotta look good.
Right. Like, even though she's not thinking that anything is going to happen between them anymore, she's probably still like, well, I'm going to be the hottest lady in the room. And she wins. And then Sassy comes in. And says, if it isn't beauty in the stink. My Sassy's so mean with stinky.
I don't know.
So Keely's excited to see her. Rebecca's excited to see her. Sam comes up and, you know, says hi to everyone. Thank you for coming. And as Sam walks away, Sassy kind of looks at Rebecca and says, you're such a twat.
Mm.
Is that because she broke up with him?
I think so.
Yeah. So they get more champagne. And then Sassy says, or asks, is Ted here? And Rebecca looks at Keely and says, told you.
Mm-hmm.
So she was probably like, Sass is going to come, but it's just because she wants to hook up with Ted.
Right, right.
So now I really feel confident that they slept together on that first time, the trip.
Right.
And then when she comes back early, when Nora's with Rebecca, she totally came back early to hook up with Ted.
Yeah.
And then we saw them leave after the funeral.
Oh, right, yeah.
And now we see her here. So she's just taking any opportunity she can to come sleep with Ted. Beard and Ted are hanging out in a little corner booth. And Beard asks him if he wants a beer.
Mm-hmm.
And Ted says, Michelle and Henry went horseback riding with Dr. Jacob today. And you know this isn't the first time Beard's heard about this.
Right.
So when the server comes by, he says, oh, I'm going to need a shot of whiskey.
Two shots.
A single and a double in one. I need two of them. And that's the same drink order that Ted ordered at the gala when he goes up and he says, I'm going to need a single and a double and one, just triple shot.
Right. It's a triple.
I love how some of these jokes come back. So Jane comes running up to the table and like throws herself on Beard, asks if he's cheating on her. He says, yes, with you. They start making out. And poor Ted's little heart's already bruised, and now he's got to watch these two idiots dry hump each other in the booth. But we already know that Jane is a bit nervous that Beard could be having an affair with Ted.
Right.
So she's probably not at all kidding. And then I love he says, man, you two's baggage just lines up just right, doesn't it? And that could be true.
Yeah.
I heard Brendan Hunt, who plays Coach Beard, made a comment. Somebody was asking him about Jane, and he says, you know, it's just kind of that thing where he's only cares about the pheromones. Like he doesn't care that she's crazy, and she doesn't really care that it's all about sex, basically.
Right.
So I feel like he doesn't really think that Beard wants anything more than this. Like this is fine with him because this is exactly what he's looking for. So Sassy tells Keely and Rebecca that she's going to go make a lap, and if Ted's already gone, I mean, come on, dude, this place is so small. You can see Ted. He's sitting right there.
Right there. He's right there.
Right there. Yeah. If Ted's already gone, then she's going to attempt to scale Mount Zaba.
Mm-hmm.
We already know that Zava is married. Yes. So she knows, but she doesn't care. And right. Zava probably doesn't care because he's a professional footballer. Keely and Rebecca, who are not leaving their station at the bar at all this night,
I know.
Tonight.
The whole time they're at the bar.
She sees Shandy. They see Shandy going over to Zava. So Rebecca asks, how is it going with Shandy? And she's like, oh, you know, it's good. And then she says, I love how not shy she is. Which is the same description that Rebecca used for John Wings Night when she wasn't really that crazy about him.
Oh.
She basically said, I love how not shy he is. So you see them look at Sam and the girl who is his...
The chef? Or
yeah, the chef at the restaurant. And she sees them talking. This is not the first time we've seen them. We've seen them talking a bit throughout the night and during the montage. So. Right. It seems like there's some decent chemistry there, and she's adorable. So she sees that, and then Keely sees Roy. So
yeah,
both of them
are just...
she sees
him get up and walk away. Yeah. You know, like, they're reflecting.
Right.
I guess.
But Keely says, you know, everything we left behind, there's something better in the future. But
and Rebecca's all into, she's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then let's do
more
shots.
Drinks, yes. But I mean, Keely and Roy better get back together. They will. Rebecca and Sam,
yeah,
no. No. Stop. Sassy does track down Ted. He hasn't left. He was sitting right there the whole time.
But when she finds him, they're crossing paths. So, like, he was up walking. It's so big. He's all walking around. She's
right.
Walking around. No one can see anybody.
And she's been gone for a bit because Keely and Rebecca were able to glance at all their past.
Mm-hmm.
Where was she going?
I don't know.
Just in circles?
I guess.
So, he's excited to see her. And they start talking. And they're flirting a bit. She says, how's it going? And he's like, oh, I'm pretty good. And he's like, well, actually, my wife is dating our marriage therapist. And she says, that's a bit unethical.
Yeah.
And he says, yes, but I guess it didn't start till after a year and a half after we stopped seeing him. So I looked up about dating a psychologist, and it is absolutely unethical. But from what I could see, I believe it was like 2 years or 5 years is actually the like time that you shouldn't have been with the patient anymore as a psychologist. Psychologists getting with patients, though unethical, I think is not that uncommon.
Yeah, I bet.
Dr. Jake, I mean, I feel like they added in that year and a half waiting period to make it seem like, oh, they just kind of met back up later and now they started something. But who knows, one, if that's true or if they're just saying that so that it doesn't seem quite as unethical that Michelle's dating the marriage counselor. Sam finds the head chef again, and she has a box for him. She hands it to him, and he's so excited when he's like, oh, thank you. And I was thinking, like, what could be in there? But it's matchbooks.
I know. And what restaurant gives out matchbooks?
Many more.
Maybe,
I know.
Maybe it's more common in
UK.
England, in
yeah.
the UK than it is here. But I remember used to get a matchbook everywhere I went. I used to collect them, and then
yeah,
now
we
I get anywhere I go, I don't see.
Somewhere.
Well,
of them
some
don't
I saved.
Light anymore.
I know, but they mean something more there. I don't know.
So he starts handing them out to everyone. And then he gets to Rebecca and Keely, and he places it into her hand, into Rebecca's hand. And she looks down, and it is a green matchbook.
Mm-hmm.
And she like starts kind of panicking again. And she's like, green matchbook. And she looks around, because now she's probably thinking, oh, shit, was Sam it? And like I screwed it up, and I broke up with him. So she takes a shot. And she's like, bring him on.
Another round. And then picks up the lemon slice or lime slice and puts it back in her mouth. It was sitting on the bar.
I hope that this episode opens the next morning. The next episode, I mean, because I want to know how hungover Rebecca
I know,
is,
that'd be great.
Because she has to be pretty hungover.
That would be great if they did that.
Then the episode ends, even though this isn't part of Ted and Rebecca.
No, but it's big.
Yes. Trent Crim leaves the party. As he's walking, he sees Colin and his boyfriend, Michael, making out in an alley. So Colin's not doing much to hide this because
yeah,
he didn't go
right
far.
Around the corner from the restaurant in an alley.
Right. But we see Trent kind of contemplate what he just saw and then keeps walking.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wonder what he's going to do with that.
I know. Like, I don't see him.
No, I know. It's interesting, though.
Yeah. Like, I don't see him exposing it or anything. No, I know. Who knows? But
yeah, yeah. Interesting.
But it'll be interesting to see. All right, now we're to that part.
Yeah.
What did we learn about Ted? I kind of had a hard time with this one.
Yeah, me too. That's why it's blank.
I mean, I guess I learned that he was a little further along in his healing process with Michelle.
Yeah, and then kind of got a kick to the testicles.
Right. Two steps forward, one step back.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's really all. Well, and I learned that he probably has been having sex with Sassy. I mean, I've always suspected that anyway throughout, but I like that. And you know what? A lot of people don't like Sassy. And I think part of it is there are a few things like her calling Rebecca stinky, which whatever. I don't really get that, but I think most of it is that we also just like are trained to not like the person who's in the middle of whoever you want to get together.
Yeah, that's true.
But good for Ted if he's been having some regular casual sex with Sassy. If everyone's on the same page.
Yeah, who cares?
Poor guy needs something. So
he's having a tough time.
He is. He's having a tough few years.
I guess we learned that Ted is like the public enemy.
No. Yes, we did.
And that he saw them before.
Yep. Okay. What did we learn about Rebecca?
The only thing, well, not the only thing, but one of the things that I got is that she may not be so much of a skeptic about Tish because of the green match.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, that kind of hit her, you can tell, after that.
Right.
Even though she told her fuck off and all the other stuff. But she might be, she, you know, the fact that the green matches came into play.
Yeah. When that's a thing, too, like when she said you're going to have a family, she really was so upset and hurt because she fully believed that this woman was just making shit up irresponsibly. But now she's, I wonder if it's going to make her think that anything else that she said could be true.
Yeah, maybe that should have been under the next one, but either way.
What did Rebecca learn?
Yeah, I guess not. Yeah, you're right. Whatever, either way. Same thing.
Yeah, that's all right. Okay. Oh, read the other one you had for what Rebecca learned.
I don't. I mean, I have what did Rebecca learn is what I have. I said shit. That's Sam seeing somebody new. Might be.
Yeah.
I don't
know.
Could
be. Not there's that definitely chemistry there.
Not that that's, but that, like, you know, we talked about before. It's not that probably much of a big of a deal, but, you know, I still think even though if you break off with somebody or you move on when you see them talking to somebody else in that way, it's still kind of like, oh, well, I guess they moved on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
I think also I learned about Rebecca that she's going to wear the hottest dress she can find in her closet when she's going to her ex-boyfriend's restaurant.
Exactly. Good point.
Why doesn't she dress like this around Rupert? Every time Rupert sees her, I mean, she's still gorgeous, but she hasn't pulled out like a dress like this since I don't even know when, but not that I want her to make Rupert jealous because fuck him, but then I still her to make Rupert jealous because fuck him. Okay. And then what did Ted learn?
Zava is tall and strong because he says he was strong because after he touches him, but also when they're standing in the locker room, Zava just stands right in front of him and you completely lose Ted.
You did. Poor Ted. He did learn that. And then he learned that his ex-wife is dating the same person who was supposed to help them get back together.
Right. So, there's counselor.
That. Ted learned that he couldn't remember Michelle's number. And I think he kind of took that as I might be healing a little bit before the kick to the balls.
Yeah. And then boom.
Yeah. Okay. And then do you think they're any more aware of each other?
I don't think so. Do you? Maybe you have a different take.
Well, my only take was the fact that she felt comfortable like touching his thigh she went to get up.
Yeah.
And not in any way other than like, because the thing is, especially when you hear Hannah Waddingham talking about Rebecca and Ted in interviews, she's always saying how much like Rebecca can't live without Ted. There's no Rebecca without Ted. This person came into her life and has really changed it. But I honestly don't think we've seen that a ton. So I feel like we need to start getting to this point where we really, I mean, we definitely saw in season 1 that he made an impression on her. But like, we haven't even had like a solo Biscuits with the Boss in a while. So I think we're going to need to start seeing the fact that they are quite, you know, that they're really good friends before we get to the next step, or it's going to seem a little disjointed. So hopefully we'll see them more on like a one-on-one basis together, but her comfort level touching him, I thought, was,
you know, yeah, that's a step.
A good indication that she kind of views him the same way as Keely as far as like people in her life. All right. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Although I don't think she's any more aware of him because she's probably focused on Sam again right now, which hopefully won't last long. But I do think Rebecca's going to have to be hit over the head to figure out that this is leading her to Ted.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Ted we'll needs see. A nudge and she needs a complete push.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is it. We will be back next week where we do this all over again and hopefully have more indication that this is going in a direction that won't be a complete embarrassment to both of us.
Well, let's see. Let's see. We only next Tuesday evening.
Yep.
We'll see.
Cannot wait. Okay. Thank you, everyone.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.